Good morning, guys. So we are going to learn through the topic of eating ginger, pepper, and sugar. So the Gemara begins on Lamed Vav Amud Beis, the sugya, the last two narrow lines of the page. The Gemara says, Pilplay, when it comes to eating pepper, Rav Sheshes Amar Shehakol, he once says a shehakol when eating pepper. And Rav Amar Loklum, you don't say any bracha, he considers it to be inedible. V'azda Rava Latame, and Rava goes according to his general reasoning that pepper is considered inedible because Dama Rava kas pilple biyom dikipura pater. A person who chews pepper on Yom Kippur is pater for karis. We know, of course, it's awesome to rise to eat on Yom Kippur. One violates karis for eating on Yom Kippur, but when a person eats pepper, not the vegetable, but the spice pepper, since it's considered inedible, it does not warrant the karis. That's the Rava Shita, and therefore, when a person eats it, there's no bracha either because it's not considered achila. The Gemara then says, continuing Rava's opinion, Kas Zangbile, person that chews ginger, Bioma di Kippura, is also pater. That too, eating raw ginger, is considered inedible according to Rava. So therefore, these two halachas of requiring a bracha and violating Yom Kippur are very much connected to each other. Rava paskins that both pepper and ginger are not considered achila. So the Gemara asks, wait a second, Meisive, Haya Rabbi Meir Omer, Mimashma Shinemar Varalasam Arlaso Espirio. The Pasuk says that there's an Isser Arla. We know the first 3 years of a fruit tree, there's an Isser to eat it. It's called Arla. So, Ein Yodea She'etz Maichlo. When it's referring to Arla on Peros, we know, of course, Peros grows on a tree. So why does the Pasuk go on to say, Ela Ma Tamalomer Eitz Machal? We know, again, if we're talking about Peros, I know it's talking about a fruit tree. So why does the Pasuk say fruit that come from a fruit tree that's very... very repetitive. The Gemara says, "Lahavi eitz shetam eitzo upirio shava," to include a tree that the wood tastes like the fruit. Ve'ezez. What's an example? Hapilplin. Apparently, I don't know how the peppers grow exactly, but apparently the wood, the bark of the tree, tastes exactly like the pepper. The lamercha to teach me hapilplin chayavim ba'arla, to teach me two halachas or two inyanim. One inyan is that peppers chayv na'arla. And number two is l'lamedcha she'ein Eretz Yisrael chasar klum. There's nothing lacking from Eretz Yisrael. Everything is in Eretz Yisrael, even spices. Shenemar Eretz asher lo b'miskenos teichal balechem lo sechsa chobal. Nothing's missing. What we're trying to draw from this brisa though is that pepper is included in the halachas of arla, and arla only applies to peros, fruit trees. So we see that pepper actually is edible. And if it's edible, it also wouldn't be only a shehakol, it would be probably ha'etz. So how could Rav Sheshes get away with saying shehakol? And how could Rav get away with saying there's no brach at all? It's clearly chayv and arla, it's clearly considered fruit. So the Gemara ends up answering, lo kashya, ha biritifsa, ha biyabashta. It depends on what type of pepper. If it's a pepper that's freshly picked from the tree, then it's nice and fresh and ripe and juicy, that's where we consider chayv and arla, and l'chor chayv a brach on eating. We're talking about Rava. When Rava said there's no bracha, and when Rava said a person is allowed to eat it on Yom Kippur, that's referring to a dry pepper, which already dried out, like what we have, where it's, you can't eat it, it's simply spices, that's where there's no bracha, that's where it's not chayv on Yom Kippur. Okay. So the Gemara now says, a little bit further, Amri le Rabbanan Maremar, Kas Zangbila Biyomati Kippura Pater. So he says, wait a second, he quotes a statement that we saw above, that if a person eats ginger in Yom Kippur, he's actually Pater. But Vaha Amar Rava, doesn't Rava say, Hai Hamlasa de Asya mi Behundia? This Hamlasa, which apparently is some type of another spice, which comes from, I don't know, India, Sharya, Umivarchan Labori Priyadama. It's permitted. What means Sharia? So Rashi just points out a side point. It's not an issue of Bishul Akum. Not our discussion right now. You're allowed to eat it even though a goy cooks it. And you say a bracha v'adama. So how come some spices you don't say bracha? Other spices you do say bracha? And the Gemara answers again. Ha lo kashya ha b'ritavsa ha b'yibashta. One's talking about where it's moist. One's talking about where it's dry. So in the end of the day, what we draw from this Gemara is that spices, whether it be pepper, whether it be ginger, whether it be this last example, hamlasa, I don't know if it's cumin of some sort, whatever example it is, you say, you don't say bracha when it's dry. All the spices that we have and we use for baking, there are no brachas if you eat those plain. But if they're in the original form, the way they grow on the trees, you would say a bracha. Okay, so that's how the Gemara paskins. Now the question becomes, and what's ambiguous is, which bracha do you say? The Gemara never tells what bracha. It just says, Rava says, you don't say any bracha when it's dry. But which bracha would you say when it's moist? So on one hand, you might think it's an ace because they grow in trees. So this is the ambiguity that the Yerushalayim try to figure this out. So let's see what we have here. So the Rif paskins, when you come to eating moist peppers, has anyone here ever eaten a moist pepper straight from the trees? Have you ever? Is it sold? I don't know if it tastes good. I don't know. But if one were to eat, someone was showing me a picture of how they look, the way they grow. I did never eat it.
No, I made someone show you a picture, because when you said it, I didn't even know what it looks like.
Me neither. So someone Googled it on their phone. He showed me. It looks like a cluster of grapes, but it doesn't have like a triangle shape like clusters of grapes, but it's more like a long cluster that direction of peppers. That's how they grow in the tree. The tree, the way he showed me, looks like a big, reminds me of, remember the Sesame Street, remember that character Snuffleupagus in that big mound? So that's what these trees look like, a big mound of green things growing together, and then they have these little clusters of peppers hanging down. That's what it looked like from the picture he had shown me. So if a person were to eat it freshly picked from the tree, which bracha would you say? So we haven't gotten yet into the what qualifies for trees yet, but it certainly was high enough. I don't know if it's a seasonal tree, that's very important also, but let's assume it qualified for a tree. So l'chor, it should be ha'it. So the Rif paskins in the back. The Rif writes that one should say an adama on these fresh, moist peppers. Not when they're dry, but when they're moist. He paskins to say an adama. The Rambam writes this as well. One should say adama when eating these fresh peppers. Now, again, I don't know the metziah so well, whether it's because it doesn't qualify a tree as a tree or not, but that's how they paskin both the Rif and the Rambam. One should say an adama. Now, in contrast to that, the Rabbeinu Yonah writes, On the place of the Rif, one should really say,
Would you say Rabbeinu Yonah says in the place of the Rif? What does that mean?
Rabbeinu Yonah, his comments are found on the side of the Rif. Uh-huh. So where the Rif writes, Adama.
Rabbeinu Yonah comments on the Rif.
Right. So on the Rif there, the Rabbeinu Yonah comments and says that. Exactly, make eights. Even though by ginger, I don't know how ginger grows, even though by ginger, a fresh ginger, one would only say an adama on that. When it comes to pepper, it's chayv in heights. And why? What's the raya? Remember what's the raya that Rabbeinu Yonah brings? Exactly, it's chayv in arla. The Gemara says that peppers are chayv in arla. Arla only applies to fruit trees. It doesn't apply to vegetables or anything else, only fruit trees. So the fact that peppers are chayv in arla tells me it's a tree. And once it's a tree, it has to be ha'etz. Ginger, granted, ginger's only a dhamma. Ginger doesn't grow on trees. I don't know how ginger grows, but it's only a dhamma. On the ground? Okay. So I assume those ginger that we get when you get the sushi, I don't eat it, but I try to avoid it.
He's not arguing that it's not a tree and the other people say it's not a tree. Maybe he's saying it's not, maybe the others are saying it's not chayv in arla.
You can't, because
it's not a tree.
No, because the Gemara said explicitly, right before you got here, we read the Gemara, that the peppers is definitely chayv in arla.
Does that mean it's definitely a tree? I thought the rabbi said a minute ago, we're not sure if it even fulfills the definition of a tree.
Correct. So I don't know the metzias, how it works, how it grows, but from the fact that it's chayv in arla, that indicates it's considered a tree. Now, you're pointing out something great.
So you do know it's a tree.
I'm building it up. So, but then you're making a great point. Do we really know, are the same halachas that's chayv in arla, are they necessarily the same halachas that make us chayv in saying a bracha v'etz? We haven't learned about trees and brachas yet. So I'll just tell you a little bit. The Gemara says it has to be something perennial, where the tree lasts from season to season, as opposed to bananas. Even though bananas grow on something high, they dry out each season, and then it grows back the tree again. That's not chayv in ha'etz, even though it's not a tree. Strawberries are another example, where they grow in a tree, a bush that's high enough, but it dries up each season and grows back from the roots.
That's weird.
So
they grow like a vine each year.
Each
they don't
year.
Grow like a tree.
Exactly.
They do grow each year.
So each year, but they dry out, and then the tree grows itself, and then the fruit grow
does.
On the tree.
Yeah. Right, I'm just telling you that if you ever planted strawberries, you never would have guessed it was a tree. You would have guessed it was a vine and a bush.
Okay, so there are other qualifications, but in terms of that, so I don't know. So when it comes to arla, so arla is banana gami chayv and arla. Are these things that don't last from year to year, are those chayv and arla? So, again, unclear. So I think you're making a great point that maybe the definitions for tree for arla are different than the definitions of a tree for brachos.
Yeah.
Great. It could be. I don't know. We'll have to get to that sugya. But the raya, the proof that Rabbeinu Yonah brings, the very fact that pepper is chayv in arla, and that's a given, because the Gemara says it's a given. No one argues on that. Once it's chayv in arla, And arla only applies to fruits, as the pasuk says, not vegetables. So it has to be ha'etz as well. That's the raya that Rabbeinu Yonah brings to ha'etz against the Rif and against the Rambam, who say it's only an adama. So comes along the Ra'ah, one of the Rishonim, and the Ra'ah writes that there must have been a mistake in the Rif. The Rif could not have missed this clear raya. It must have been a mistake, and the Rif must have meant...
Who's this now?
The Ra'ah. Reish Aleph Hey, the Ra'ah. Oh. The Ra'ah, one of the Rishonim, says the Rif must have made a mistake, or at least the editor made a mistake, and it should have been Ha'etz. When you eat fresh pepper, it really should be Ha'etz. So he thinks everyone agrees with each other. It's all Ha'etz, so it was a mistake in the Rif. But the problem with that is the Rambam clearly writes that it's in Hadama. So it's hard to say that both there's a mistake that's found both in the Rif and in the Rambam, that they both said Hadama, but they really meant Ha'etz. Very hard to say that. So what comes out is there's really Machlokas, what bracha to say on peppers. Is it going to be Ha'etz, or is it going to be an Hadama?
These are the moist ones, not the dry ones.
Exactly. The dry ones, are there's no bracha at all.
Or charcoal.
Exactly, there's nothing at all. The moist ones, the Gemara says that there is a bracha, but the Gemara never tells us what the bracha is. So that's why the Rishonim are busy scrambling around to try to figure out what is the bracha.
But they don't say either bracha. We don't really know the wet or the dry.
The dry is no bracha. The wet...
No, it's a machlokas.
The dry is no
bracha. Shesis rava.
Right, so that's the machlokas about dry. We paskin like rava, very good. We paskin no bracha on dry. But regarding the moist ones, that's where the Gemara says that there is a bracha. There's definitely a bracha according to the Gemara. We just don't know which bracha is. And that's this machlokas Rishonim that we're encountering right now. Now, there's a Seif HaMe'oros. Seif HaMe'oros is one of the Rishonim. It's more of the obscure Rishonim. It's not as commonly learned. And he explains the Rif that, again, I don't know the Metzius of how these peppers grow, so it's hard for me to explain this, but it's very simple, is that he says apparently inside each of these peppercorns there's a... another fruit. So the fruit that's inside these peppercorns, says the Sefer Ma'oros, that's what the Rif is referring to. Inside there's this fruit that's enveloped by the outer shell. That inner fruit is going to be an Adama. It's the outer fruit that's going to be Ha'et. So there are two parts of the vegetable of this fruit. Again, I don't know the Metzius of it, but just simply there's an outer fruit and there's an inner fruit.
Which makes a lot more sense because those little doohickeys that we're talking about look more like seeds inside a fruit than they do look like a fruit on a tree.
Yes, so... yeah, I
thought maybe they were bigger, and when you dried them, they shrunk down.
Right.
Maybe.
It's possible. But I really don't know.
It's kind of obvious, though.
That they're two parts of
no,
the...
No, we should be... we should know whether it's the outside... In other words, like, think of a green pepper, right? Inside the green pepper are those the seeds, and mm-hmm. the seeds are what they make the hot peppers out of, I think.
I have no idea.
Well, let's guess. You ever see the inside of a pepper?
Sure.
And it has all those seeds?
Yes.
And those little flat things?
Yes.
Don't they kind of sort of look like when you go to the pizza store and they have those hot pepper things in there?
Mm-hmm.
Don't they kind of look like in there? That's not what they use?
So, again, I don't know the Matthias, but somehow what he's saying is that there's no machlokas here. They're talking about two different parts of the pepper as how they grow on the tree. Okay, we'll leave it at that.
That doesn't sound like a rabbi question. It sounds like a horticultural question.
I agree. So I don't know the answer. I didn't look into it enough. So, we'll just throw it out there as a possible shita. It's not something that's brought down the halacha. I'm throwing it out there as just an interesting opinion, an interesting position.
No, it's not brought out there.
But at that point, that distinction is not brought down the halacha anyways. Okay, now what the Rimi Lo Neil explains is that there is a difference between halachas of arla and halachas of brachos. It's very possible that peppers are chayv and arla, and they are considered a tree, a fruit tree, for the purposes of arla. But we have a lot more criteria needed to match the halachas of brachos. Namely, remember we discussed a number of times that you have to have the das, the das of the planter, the farmer. Rarely that a person farms these peppers for the eating of them while they're moist. They're farmed for the eating of when they're dry. So when I eat them when they're moist, that's not reaching its full potential of the initial farmer, and therefore it would not be ha'etz. So remember that slav tree was the example. No one plants them for the kafrisin or for the leaves, even though they are edible, it doesn't get the ha'etz. Ah, it grows on a tree. The tamarim grew on the tree. That wasn't the original intention. So here too also, when they plant these pepper trees, they don't plant them to eat them when they're moist, and therefore it does not get ha'etz, it only gets an adama. So that's the machloket. So the Rif thinks it goes based on das, And it could be the Rishonim who think you say ha'etz on pepper might think that is also part of the das. When a farmer grows it, he doesn't only grow it for them to be eaten and used when they're dry, but even when they are moist, possibly.
Had we know that it doesn't downgrade further to shakol, is that a question too, or it automatically just goes down one?
It only goes down one. Once it's considered edible, it only drops down one. The das only knocks it down one level.
The shakol was a discussion when we thought that maybe it wasn't edible, or maybe when it dried out later.
Exactly. So in the end of the day, how do we paskin? So the Darchei Moshe, is the Ramah. The Ramah's comments on the Torah. The Ramah writes in his Darchei Moshe that one should say an Adama because of a Safik. Some Yisharim say to say Ha'etz. Others say Adama. So Adama is a safer route because we know Adama works for even fruit trees, even for fruits. So it's a safer bet to say the Adama because we don't know how to paskin. That's what the Darchei Moshe writes.
Somebody made a great comment that said, don't use this as an excuse. You still have to go and study and learn.
Exactly. We're going to get to that. Very good. Yes. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, he writes in Or Chaim Simen Resh Beis Sif Yud Ches, he paskins one should say an Adama, like the Zarchim Moshe writes, to say an Adama because we don't know. But still, nonetheless, the Gra paskins to say Eitz. Now, this is one that we've seen several times already this year, that the Gra is arguing on the Shulchan Aruch. Now, even though we have these rules that later generations are not able to argue. In earlier generations, the Gra had this certain stature of being able to argue. So even though Shulchan Aruch paskin Adama, the Gra felt you should paskin Ha'etz because many, many Rishonim, Rabbeinu Yonah among them, says to say Ha'etz, and it's Chayv and Arla, so therefore it should be Chayv and Ha'etz. But the Shaar Tzion, the Mishnah Berura, in the Shaar Tzion he writes that most Rishonim paskin like the Shulchan Aruch to say an Adama, and that's how he paskin. So if a person were to eat a fresh pepper, one should say an Adama.
What did happen before the Chafetz Chaim? He seems to be the main person who we go by, no?
For the most part, yeah.
Who was before him?
Before him, the Mishnah Berurah writes in his Akdama that why did he feel the need to write the Mishnah Berurah? Because there are many generations and many contemporary poskim who came between him. The Ber Hetev is found on the Shulchan Aruch, the page. He had collected all the different Achronim and summarized what they had said. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, well, since he last lived, 100-something years before me, there's been a lot of people in between. So I need to fill in some of the gap and figure out what the minhag has become and other new halachas that came up. So he felt every 100 years you need someone else to write another sefer to include and summarize all the other
posts. So the answer was the Be'er Hetiv was before him and he was about 100 years earlier.
I don't know exactly the times, but yeah. So it evolves.
Who's the Be'er Hetiv?
I don't know the name of the author. That's true also, right? He's also, came in between.
They were at the same time.
Right. So many tried, summarizing and putting together in a very organized way, halacha, of all the different poskim out there. Now, the Ramah writes his very interesting comment on this halacha. When it comes to the halachas of peros, he writes, any fruit that you know is the ikur pri.
This is the Mishnah Berurah.
This is the Ramah. If it's the ikur pri, one is supposed to say ha'etz. And if it's not the ikur pri, a person is supposed to say ha'adama. That's the klal that we know. The soft tree is that prime example. If it's the ikur fruit, we say ha'etz. If it's not the ikur fruit, we only say nadama. So then he writes, but if a person isn't sure, if it's the ikur pri, or if it's not the ikur pri, then you should always say, say it again, imasubak imuk pri, lava, you say adama. And if you don't know what it is, you don't know anything, you don't know where it comes from, then one should just say Eisha Hakol. That's what he paskins. Those are the rules of Sveikos. When there are any doubts in the halachas of brachos, an adama for something that grows from the ground, the tree, you don't know. And if you don't know where it comes from at all, comes from an animal, comes from who knows where, you don't know what you're eating, you could say Eisha Hakol, and the shakol is able to cover every single bracha. We're going to get to that sugya. Shakol becomes a very unique bracha. Very unique bracha. We'll get to that at a different point in Mir Tasha.
But so, before yeah. that, wouldn't you suggest the... that's only if food's around. But, I'm saying if food's around, you would make it on other things. I mean, charcoal is really default. Wouldn't you originally suggest find something eights, find something other?
That would probably be, even though it's not brought down here, that's probably the best eitza. Is to say a mazonos on something that's definitely mazonos, a ha'etz on something that's definitely a ha'etz, and so on, and this way you cover all your bases. Or to say ha'motzi, say motzi, and have everything included. So this is going to be actually next week's sugya. We're going to discuss some of these topics. We're going to discuss. We'll get there, but it's a very good point.
We should have a brachas party.
All right.
The kids have that. No.
Okay. I'm down with that.
I've skipped it. I missed the school. I'd like to do it now. I was like doing ballet in first grade. I'd love to do that.
Okay. We could certainly try that.
Mrs. Cohen, of course.
Okay. Feva, let's go weiter.
Let's get us there, that's for sure.
What? Says the Magen Avraham.
Pretty funky. I'm
trying not to make it.
Says the Magen Avraham.
We were just in a circle and she had the drum.
So Magen Avraham says as follows. This is only true that you follow these rules of Sfeiko. So you don't know if where it grows from, or you don't know where it comes from. You could say Adama, you say Shako. It's only true after you've learned through the Sugyas, after you learned through the Mitzvahs, you went to the farms.
Who's saying this?
The Magen Avraham. So Magen Avraham writes this. Now, by the way, you should know, I think it was Rebbe. The Gemara in the first parak in Sanhedrin talks about getting smicha. And when you need smicha, just like we have nowadays, there are different parts of smicha. The person might get smicha in what's called yora yora. Yora yora is yora deya, which is lachas of bas v'chalav, isser v'heter. There's also what the Gemara refers to as yadin yadin, which we have nowadays as well. A person is expert in choshe mishpat halachas and dine mamonis halachas. The Gemara refers to that. And then there's a third level the Gemara refers to as yatir yatir. We don't have this nowadays. Yatir yatir refers to being matir b'choros. When an animal was born, a firstborn animal, a kosher animal, is called a b'chor. So nowadays, and even during the times of Beis HaMikdash, you couldn't eat it until it had a mum. So you have to have an expert come and inspect this animal to see if there's a mum. So how do you know about mumim? If you learn the Gemara b'choros, which I've learned, it's very, very hard to know what it's talking about. There's around 15, 20 blot of all the mumim, of a cut in the ear, and then the eye, and all the different parts of the body. So the Gemara says, I think it was Rebbe, he spent 18 months on a farm, analyzing, researching, and looking at animals to be an expert in mumim. You need to spend time out in the field to know exactly what you're talking about. Now, Rebbe took 18 months. It'd take us probably a lot more than that. But that's what you need to do. You have to know what's going on. So,
yes and no. They had limited research. The research we have now might be better. You could just see pictures.
That's true. Granted, you could still spend time. But reading from the Gemara alone won't be enough until you actually see pictures.
That's what I meant.
Rav Chaim
didn't have pictures. He had to go.
Rav Chaim Kanievsky. So he wrote a sefer on grasshoppers.
This is a good story.
Great story. So at one point, there was this one part of the grasshopper, which he didn't really know about, and he didn't have the metzias. So he only learned from over here. So he sent his daughter to go to the store and buy a picture book of all the grasshoppers. So she went and bought the book, and he looked through it and didn't have what he was looking for. So you see, you need the pictures. And just to finish the story, because you're getting excited, because the rest of the story goes, that so he never finished this sefer because he didn't want to put it out incomplete. He wanted it to be complete. And there's this one last piece he couldn't get. He didn't know the metzias of the grasshopper. So one day, this very grasshopper comes to his table. Some tables on his wall, somewhere in his
window. Line
yeah, window.
Window.
Different recordings of the story. So it came to his house, to his apartment, and he saw this is mamish the grasshopper. So he sees it, and he's looking at it, and he gets exactly what he needs, and he's done. He completes the sefer, and then he's like, "Oh, I forgot one more thing." The grasshopper comes back. This has been recorded in many places. The article, if you look at Rebbetzin Kanievsky's book the story is brought down there as well. So it comes back a second time, he looks at it, says, now I got it. He finished the sefer, and he published it. And he didn't tell anybody other than his father, the stipler, he told his father. So the next week or two, the stipler makes a kiddush, a special kiddush. He didn't tell anybody why. So he made a kiddush, and at the kiddush, Rav Chaim didn't really want him to do this, but he did it anyways. He said, my son had a nace happen to him. This was the story. And it's brought down, I think the Chassam Sofer writes, that every generation, there are certain nisim that take place with birds. This was a grasshopper, but birds. And that, you know, these people are big gedolim when that happens. And that was the famous maisa that's been going on. You know, people have been telling for the past number of years about the godless of Chaim Kanievsky. Either way, what we pull from this is that you need to see the metzias to know what's going on.
You're missing the best part of the story.
What's the best part of the story?
That somebody said
that's
a
grasshopper said, hey,
they said, a guy in the back says that's a bubba miser.
The grasshopper took a belittle.
The
And what he said?
This is the best part when I heard it. A guy comes in the shir, says, that's a Baba Maisa. I don't believe it. He comes home, and his house is infested with grasshoppers. He can't get rid of them. He calls in one exterminator after another exterminator after another exterminator. Can't get rid of them. He goes to Rabbi Kanievsky for Mechila. He goes home. They're gone.
I didn't hear this.
And then every week, the grasshopper visits. And the woman who vouches for the story used to visit Rebbetzin Kanievsky to vouch that every week afterwards it used to come back and visit.
I did not hear that part. Okay, great to add to my story here. Okay.
That's the way I heard the story.
Fine. Either way, you see that you have to see the Metzius to know what's going on. You need to see the grasshoppers. Rebbe needs to see the Mumim. We need to know what the Metzius is of these fruits. So for you to just say, I learned the halacha, but I don't know exactly how corn grows. I don't know what bracha is saying corn. That's not good enough. You have to really investigate both the halacha part and the agricultural part. And then if a person doesn't know the halacha, you can rely on the Adama to be safe and then the Shehakol to be safe as well.
Are you telling us we're supposed to really either look it up or get a horticulturist?
Yeah.
In to talk to us.
Sure.
And not even the Gemara is enough.
The Gemara is not enough, certainly not, no. You'll see, we'll get to the halachas. I don't know when the Gemara comes up soon about trees. So one example is, what bracha do you say in cranberries? Anyone know cranberries? To put you guys on the spot, cranberries are more like craisins. What bracha would you say?
Eight.
Eight. You say eight, right? It's a fruit, it's a berry, it's sweet, it's... So when I learned this a few summers ago, I looked into cranberries because I know all berries are not so clear how they grow. It depends on how high of a bush they grow on. So we'll see later on, Tosos writes, and the Mishnah Berurah writes, has to be at least 3 tracham high, which is not too high, but 3 tracham high, around 10 inches or so, 12 inches. That's the qualification of a bush. So I researched a little bit about craisins and cranberries. They grow what's called, I think, creeping vines. Very low ground, low
sounds
to the ground.
Like strawberries.
So the strawberries are higher up, though.
They're very creeping also.
But they're higher up. The strawberries are higher up. The cranberries grow very low to the ground. Once in a while, they grow a little bit higher, above 12 inches once, but for the most part, they lay very, very, very low to the ground. So I assumed, I called up Ocean Spray Craisins just to get a little bit of what they thought about. They explained to me also it grows very low to the ground. Once in a while, they pop up. So one would imagine you'd say, Hadama on this.
Wait. Would you call them or what did you say? Says hello. How do your bushes grow?
Not quite like that. But yeah. I spoke to the people, someone on the other end, wanting to know about how they grow. And they gave me from their understanding of how they grew. I did my own research. I spoke to the professional Ocean Spray Craisin people. You could call them up. They're very, very nice. Most companies are very nice. And I got information which was consistent with what I found. So now I wanted to have the Gemara. I had the Halacha. I had the Metzius. And I wanted to speak to Posek. They opened the Rabbi Forrest book. And he writes to say, Ha'etz. I said, Ha'etz, that doesn't make any sense. What I did, the research, it should really be an Adama. So I called up Rabbi Forrest, and he said, when he originally, his first edition, he wrote an Ha'etz, which I have the first edition, apparently. After he put Ha'etz, he got a lot of complaints from a number of Rabbanim that it really should be an Adama because of all the Matthias that we went through. Mm-hmm. So he ended up changing because of the pressure he had, he changed to write Adama, though he said he himself thinks it's still Ha'etz, since once in a while they do go above a foot, that does qualify in his mind as considered a tree, even though most of them don't grow that high. He thinks it should be Ha'etz, but since he had the pressure, he wrote Adama, so that's how I felt. But that's the Matthias, you need to know the Matthias plus the Halacha as well.
Story.
I'm not sure.
I'm more intrigued by the fact that he actually changed his psak in a sefer because of pressure. What other people think.
Right. You know, I think it shows his humility and willingness to be mishabe. If Rov Olam, he doesn't want to put a sefer out for everyone, which goes against the Rabbanim, not because of...
I just want to say that, that I would say this, but others...
Many
hold.
Say that.
Because I assume you have to figure out what his goal of the sefer was. His goal to try to say what the minhag of the olam is, or to say his own personal shittas. My understanding was he wanted to have a nice guide, halacha guide for people, and he wanted to use their mainstream opinions. Turns out his position was not mainstream. So him from personally, he wanted to have a certain halacha.
Did he do that with the rest of the things in his book?
I don't know. Ask him about that. I don't know.
Did he check the consensus?
Ask him. This happens a lot, though.
So does he say Adama because you're not sure? What does he say?
I think he paskin ha'etz for himself. When I remember the conversation, that's what I think he said. It's not crazy. Rosh Shechter, has certain halachas that he'll do for himself, but won't tell others to do as well. He won't drink milk. But he's not going to tell the Hamun Am not to drink milk, because that's for himself. Not every halacha is meant to be for the public. So Forrest felt the same way in this application. Okay, fine. Let's go to now the discussion of sugar. Okay, so let's have... the Tosos discusses what bracha do you say on sugar. So we know sugar grows on sugar canes, and Tosos writes, Tosos speaks about cinnamon as well. He says cinnamon should be a dhamma, he writes, because they grow from the ground. But on kamsa, tsukara, which is sugar, he writes, mevarchin borei priya eitz. Why? Remember why he quotes the white pasuk that way? Because he quotes the pasuk in Shir Hashirim. The pasuk says, yari im divshi shasisi. Right? Yari, my forest, which is full of honey, which is a reference to sugar. They grow from trees. Ze sukar, says Rashi.
Say that again. The honey, it means trees. The honey doesn't mean dates.
So no. What? Normally, dvash means dates, like you said. The pasuk in Shir Hashirim, according to Tosafos' understanding, is referring to sugar.
Even though it says honey.
Like honey, the dvash is tamarim. Tamarim are not really honey either. We have dvash, apparently, is a word that's used for things that are very sweet. Dvash of bees are called dvash. Dvash of tamarim are called dvash. And now dvash of sugarcane are called dvash as well. Dvash is just a more generic word for sweet-tasting things, whether it be sugar, honeybee, or dates. So he thinks this pasuk, since it says yari, yari refers to forests, so that's referring to dvash of sugar. That's what the Tosafos thinks. And because it grows on a tree, one should say ha'etz. That's how Tosafos paskins. One should say ha'etz.
On sugar.
On sugar, exactly, which
not
is fascinating.
Sugar
cane. But not sugar cane, sugar, he says. Sukar, sugar. Rabbeinu Yonah argues and says, he brings an opinion that one should say only an adama when it comes to sugar. I don't remember what the reasoning was. Was it because maybe it doesn't qualify as a tree? I don't remember exactly. And the Rambam writes, the third opinion, one should say Eish HaKol.
It wouldn't be because of the das of the farmer.
Right, because the das is clear to have it as sugar.
No, well, when we were learning yesterday, there was a das that says some people eat it to suck on it.
Right, but I would imagine most would have it to make extract the sugar from it. No? Maybe now it changed from then.
You get sugar cubes on this process, you could argue that it's not what it looks like on the plants. Maybe it should be HaKol.
Right. Right, so that might be part of the next stage of it changing forms, right? So, okay. So then the Rambam says one should say shehakol, and his reasoning was very, very interesting. He says because its sugar should be no greater than tamarim, honey that comes from dates. What's a bracha of honey that comes from dates? It's shehakol. Any may pears, any fruit juices. I'm calling it a fruit juice, even though when you get dates, usually it's not really juicy. It's more of a from pollen, right. Right, no, but the honey that comes from dates, let's say.
Oh, date honey.
Just date honey. So that honey, even though it's very gooey, let's say, it's not really fruit juice, it's not like orange juice, but still, it's only shehakol. So certainly that the sugar that's extracted from the sugar cane should also be a shehakol.
Yeah, but I would argue with that.
Yeah, why not? Why would you argue on that?
Because the ikar of the dates is the dates. The ikar of the tree of the thing is the sugar.
Excellent. That's exactly the argument that the Torah says. Very good. So according to the perspective of the Rambam says, wait a second, if fruit juice is a shehakol, dvash tamarim is shehakol, so certainly let's call them fruit juice from a sugar should also be a shehakol. That's the initial argument, and that's why the Rambam says to say shehakol. He compares sugar to meperos. Then comes along the Torah and says, it doesn't make any sense. Your very question. When I grow my dates, I grow them to eat the dates, not to make fruit juice, not to make dvash. When I grow my sugar canes, I grow the sugar canes to eat the fruit juices, to eat the sugar canes from them. And therefore, it should be different. It should not be a shackle. It's very, very different. You cannot compare it to dvash tamarim. So perhaps what could a response be? How can we explain now the Rambam? It's a very good question you and the Torah have. How could the Rambam get away with calling it shackle? I think Stephen's point makes a lot of sense now. That it changes form. It changes form. If I was referring to, let's say the sugar was in its initial form, I just squeeze out the sugar and there I have sugar.
Sucking the sugar cane.
There is
such a
right.
Sheet that we read yesterday that some people do it to the mizuke.
Right. Exactly. But when it comes to sugar is not considered the fruit. It's not considered the fruit, the sugar that comes from it. It's not even considered the fruit juices. It's been transformed. It went through some process to get there. I don't know how exactly it works, but it was nishtana. It changed forms, and therefore it doesn't qualify. So let's just backtrack for a second. There are a number of criteria that need to be met to say ha'etz. To say ha'etz on the bro. You need to have grow from a tree. Has to look like it has to be the ikar. The ikar das has to be there. has to be the actual fruit. It can't be changing forms. We haven't discussed yet. You take a fruit and you mash it, you mash it, you mash it. You make it into mashed potatoes. You make it into applesauce. Is that going to be ha'et still, or will it be a shahako? So if the, you know, simply speaking, if the applesauce is so ground up and so mashed, where there are no chunks in it anymore, it would be a shahako, wouldn't be ha'etz. So here too, also, the sugar is no longer the original form of the way it grows on the tree. It's transformed so much. And therefore, even though the das was for that purpose, that's only when my das is about the original form. I have a tzlaf tree. I have yonos. I have leaves. The whole question, what do you say ha'et on, and what do you say hadam on, is only when it's in its original form. But once you change the form of it, so then it wouldn't be ha'et anymore. So that's what's going on here. The response, I think, might be, is that the Rambam thinks, I agree, of course I grow the sugar cane to eat the sugar, to eat the juices that come from the sugar cane. There's no question about that. But you know what the other problem is, though? It's not the original form. It's changed so much from the original fruit, the way it grows from the trees. And for that reason, perhaps the Rambam thinks, you only say a shahakol on the sugar.
No one has such a sheet that it says, listen, I want you to say an eitz because I want you to know where it originally came from.
No.
This is a big limud for you.
No.
No.
Now, there's an interesting comment in the Kesef Mishnah, which we don't really like to say so much. This idea, and don't use it, don't overuse it, don't use it at all unless you've seen someone else say this. And that's as follows. The Kesef Mishnah writes, if the Tor had lived in a place where they had sugar canes, he would have sinned differently. He would not have made his taina. He didn't know what he was talking about. He didn't know the Metzius. Now, we are no one to say that about anyone of this stature. Kesef Mishnah could. Kesef Mishnah, who's also the same author as the Beis Yosef, if Yosef Kaira wrote three major svarim, he wrote many svarim, he wrote three major svarim. The Kesef Mishnah was his comments on the Rambam, the Beis Yosef was his comments on the Torah, and the Shulchan Aruch was the Shulchan Aruch. So in his comments on the Rambam, which is called the Kesef Mishnah, it's based on the Kesef Mishnah, the Mishnah Torah, using that term Mishnah Torah, it's the Kesef Mishnah, the same word
Kesef,
Mishnah.
It's not money, it's something else he told me.
What does Kesef mean? Kesef means silver.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why did he call it that?
I don't remember why he called it that. I don't know. Could be the word Yosef is an indicator in the word Kesef. Maybe Yosef. I'm not sure. So he says, had these sugar canes grown in the place where the Torah lived, he would never have made such a taina, because they're sold by the thousands, by the tens of thousands of sugar canes are sold, and people use them and to suck on the sugar canes, like you said before. And it's mamish like meperos. It's mamish like fruit juice. So just like I would say a shahakal and apple juice and orange juice and date juice and pomegranate juice, all these things, sugar canes also, the sugar is also shahakal, it's considered fruit juice. The Torah just didn't know what the Matthias was. So again, I don't really use this unless you've seen someone else use this. We don't like to say these things.
What would you say if somebody was going to suck on the sugar cane?
He just said it's the shahakal, he just said.
Right, but if you lived there, I mean, I don't understand what the last part would be, if there was juice or something.
It only comes juice with your saliva.
I mean, that's if how you're sucking on the sugar cane, it's not a juice. It's like a piece, like a candy.
Sure, shackle. It'll be shackle. It'll be a shackle.
Sucking on it like you would a food, but it's no. It's not. You're not doing it as a juice, which is already, changing form.
If I take an orange juice and I just suck out the juice without eating anything. So
you would say it as if it was
you'd say a shakal.
You'd say shah if it's only for the juice purpose. If I took a straw and no pulp, let's say no pulp. I don't want to discuss
no
pulp
straw,
right now.
Forget the straw. What if but just suck it?
So
you were sick and you
if you just suck it, let's say, and no pulp is coming out. Let's say you could really create a situation where there's no pulp coming out, just juice. You should say shakal on that. So that's what the Kesef Mishnah writes. Now I'll give you like one other example of this type of point where we don't like saying this, but the Kesef Mishnah says this. That there's a machlokas when it comes to the Gemara and Kedushin, making kinyanim on animals. So different ways to be kohen. If I'm buying from you an animal, I do mashicha, I pull the sheep. And how do you, I want to buy an elephant. I want to buy a peel, the Gemara says. How do I buy a peel? So the Gemara says you do hagbah. So how do you do hagbah? So Rashi says, the Gemara says.
Hold up to do hagbah.
Right, so the Gemara says you take some zmoros, you take some vines, and you use that to create hagbah. So how do you accomplish that? So Rashi says, you build a little platform, and the elephant steps up on the platform, and that's the hagbah. You cause it to move up.
What do you have to do with the vine?
Because you just build, out of vine. I don't know why, but you build it out of vines, and you build this little platform, and the elephant takes a step, and he lifts his body, because you clearly can't lift the elephant, and your yotzei, you get the kinyan through hagbah. comes along, Tosfos says, no, why would he use Zmoros? Why would he use vines as the example? It should have said build a wood tree. I'm not sure if that was his tiny or not, but he says, you know what he's talking about? You hang the Zmoros above and you make the elephant jump. Jump and get it. It jumps up and then that's how you're calling it. Anyone ever see an elephant jump?
No.
Do elephants jump? No. Elephants don't jump. They're not able to jump. So some say that, well, because he lived in Europe and they didn't have elephants where he lived in Europe. They don't have elephants in Europe. So he didn't know what appeal was. So had he known what appeal was, he wouldn't have made such a taina. That's what some say. So we don't like to say that. So the Kesef Mishnah says this regarding the tour and the sugar canes.
Interesting. It's an interesting taina.
I agree. It's an interesting taina. It's a whole can of worms and showing that the Rishon could be wrong. So if they're wrong here, maybe they're wrong about something else. So we don't like to get involved in that discussion. It's very safe. Take the safer route. It's a bad position to start critiquing them or they knew what they didn't know. But I'm just throwing it out there that's something to be aware of, that sometimes you have that, like the Kesef Mishnah says, the Torah just didn't know the Metzias of sugar canes.
These OU guys have to be Buckies.
Oh, yeah, sure. A few years ago, I took a class when I was in NYU. The OU came, they had this whole week of presentations about different things. And they taught us about the bugs and the strawberries and different types of fish and chickens. They know these things such detail about it. It's amazing. There's like one guy who's an expert in chickens and another guy who's an expert in fish, another expert. They know these things. It's like what they do, get their knee deep in these things. So you have to be an expert, 100%.
So they're going to laugh. But so things change, meaning like if he lived here, he may not have said it. Like now, all my daughter and they eat hearts of palm. They grow a tree just for hearts of palm. It's not a secondary.
Right, we discussed hearts of palm, right? We discussed this with Slav, with the.
He's just trying to bring out the point that things change over time.
Right, things change over time. If they lived now and looked at the same issue, it may be different.
Could
because
be.
Because it's now a primary, not a secondary. You know, like, by the way, they're growing it for that.
Certainly things change over time. The das will change. The reason why people grow things will certainly change.
I mean, just people Google it now.
So you can find a lot of things on Google, yeah, sure.
No, I'm saying even a rabbi. I was shocked. Yeah. I don't want to go off track so much, but I spoke to a cancer doctor, because Sloan Kettering told somebody, sorry, finished.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, they're not the most cutting-edge people. Houston is big, but you should also Google it. An oncologist, you should also Google it, because that's how you find out what the latest research is doing.
Yeah, Google's a wonderful search engine.
I was shocked that the oncologist said that, but I guess it's the same thing with the Rabbanim. Google it, look it up, see where it grows, see how it grows.
Okay, let's finish it. Let's wrap this up now.
I'm sorry?
You can Google things and Wikipedia comes up because it's an unreliable source.
Yeah.
Okay, let's...
pays the most money, gets their first hit.
Well, that's why I'm saying I was very surprised when this oncologist said... You have to look it up and see who's doing the latest research.
Okay, let's wrap this up now, guys. So, find the bracha. So, at the end of the day, what bracha do you say on sugar? So, the Beis Yosef writes, again, who's the same author as the Kesef Mishnah, said, even though he thought it should be, shakal, the sugar. The Beis Yosef concludes that one should say a shakal on sugar because of a suffix.
Are we on sugar cane or sugar?
Sugar itself. Sugar itself.
The actual sugar.
Actual sugar, since it's a machlokas, whether you should say it's a dam or shakal, we don't know. The best approach is say a shakal because that's the safest. It includes everything. That's a paskins. But the Taz comes along and says, the best thing to do, what you suggested earlier, to take a fruit. If there's a fruit available, you're sitting down to have some candy. So then the best thing to do is to say ha'etz on the fruit, say shahakal on something else, and this way you're going to cover your bases and then have the candy afterwards.
It's not so pudgy, but the bracha is on stam sugar.
Exactly, as we just saw. And then the grub paskin to say ha'etz. If you eat it straight, you should say ha'etz. If you're sucking it, you should say a dhamma. If you eat the sugar cubes, I guess, it could be sugar canes also, you should say ha'etz. And if you're just simply sucking it out, he says to say a dhamma. I guess that's not the Iker reason. I'm not sure why he says that. But the minhag clearly is to say a shehakol on sugar. And that's clearly the way we've been practiced. But a person who wants to be extra careful and be machmir, I am not one of those. But if one wants to be, so the best approach would be is to say eitz on a fruit, shehakol on something else, and this way you cover your bases on eating the candy.
And that's only when it's the Iker of what you're eating and not the tuffel of what you're putting it on top of your corn.
Exactly.
Right?
Next week we're going to discuss a topic, a little bit of Iker tuffel. We're going to discuss, and now we're in the discussion of candy, licorice. Whenever there's a little bit of 5 grains or flour in something else, even though it's Iker.
Question.
So we're going to discuss what bracha to say in those in Yonim. Shmonim, as well as a little bit about oatmeal and granola bars, those types of things. That's next week's shir.
And it has to do with whether it's the binding agents or not.
Exactly.